afternoon. Today is Labor Day, September the 1st, 260th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from Eureka Police Department and his shiny white hat. Now, is it traffic officer? Is that an official designation, Gary, or not?
I am officially known as the senior traffic officer.
Oh, the senior. Ooh, okay. Senior traffic officer for EPD, Gary Whitmer. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm not senior anything. I just kind of have senior moments. Yeah. Oh, boy. So this afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time doing what you'd think we would be doing on a three-day weekend at the end of summer. Yeah, we'll also throw in a couple of other things also, like, you know, what's it like to ride with the wind going through your hair but having to wear a helmet. And all the other things about motorcycle copdom that is a little intriguing and a little curious. So we got a couple different things. Hopefully, it will be entertaining. Hopefully, you'll stick around to be entertained when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Whitmer. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, let's see if we can find a good one. No. I'm not finding good. Oh, that's a predictable one. That's boring. Genghis Khan. Violence never solved anything. Yeah, there's a little irony in that, isn't there? Okay, here's one. George Bernard Shaw. When a thing is funny, search it carefully for a hidden truth. Yeah, that's... Were you a Robin Williams fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, kind of a gut check, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know what somebody has going on in their head.
Well, I suppose that's part of being a cop, isn't it? Never knowing what somebody has going on in their head and anticipating that full gamut of what might happen when you try to make a friend and pull them over.
You're right. You never know who you're dealing with or what they're thinking. You try to read body language, watch people's eyes and their movements. And, you know, after years and years and years, you get pretty good at reading people and knowing when they're going to run or fight or just go along with the program.
Do there tend to be, I wouldn't say consistencies, but patterns of people who drive trucks versus drive cars versus motorcycles versus collectibles, commercial, private? Are there any of those types of tendencies that you've seen over the years as you kind of have developed that intuition?
Yes and no. Being a motorcycle rider myself, both on and off duty, you have to be an aggressive driver and have your head on a swivel. So if, for instance, you see somebody going down Broadway and they maybe going a little fast and driving aggressively, it's for basically their own self-preservation. We have to drive that way at work. Otherwise, you can...
So it might be a cop off duty that's driving this way.
Oh, he'd drive much worse. But no, just the normal Joe. You would. It's just, you never want to be in somebody's blind spot. You assume nobody sees you. Gravel in the road, wet crosswalks or manhole covers. So there's a lot going on if you're a motorcyclist. So being a motorcyclist, when I see motorcyclists doing these, I don't necessarily assume they're out messing around or just driving fast or reckless. Sometimes they are, but sometimes I give them benefit of the doubt because I know in this town you have to be a very defensive driver and sometimes avoid people.
Or there's a fun little spot along Harrison, which is, for folks outside of Eureka, is the, I guess we'd say half of the street's in the Eureka, half is in the county. But it's by the hospital. It's the right. hospital street. Where there are the manhole covers, but there's also the little digouts for the utility yes. stuff. And they happen to just line right up with the truck. And every time I go by, it's kind of like clockwork, I'll swerve the truck around it. And if there happens to be somebody walking on the right-hand side or parked there, I'll swing to the left instead of swing to the right. And I'm sure, if you're following behind me, what the heck is going on? You make the... Okay, it's almost instinctive rather than a thought process anymore, but it's... Yep. If you ask how come, okay, no, I wasn't looking at or doing something goofy. This is just what I've done. So there are some allowances like that that you'll do, like for motorcycle guys or for anybody else, if there's some kind of a thought process behind it?
Oh, definitely. I do the same thing. There's certain roads, you know where the bumps are. You know where the manhole covers are or the big cracks in the road or the potholes. So you avoid those.
Yeah, it's just normal, mm-hmm. normal.
Mm-hmm. And, if I didn't know what you were doing and say I tried to pull you over for maybe thinking you were impaired, it'd be a perfectly good reason. That would be a great reason that I have never heard. I was
really?
Swerving around the manhole covers.
You've not heard that one before?
Nope.
Oh, do it on park too. There's a couple that poke out a little bit. Yeah, it's just, you drive through it and you thump, 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 or mm-hmm. you can just not worry about it.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. What about commercial rigs? I know you guys don't have an awful lot of interaction with business trucks.
Right.
The big haulers is going to be more CHP.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, but you still got the blank service company or blank retailer in their rigs driving around town making their deliveries and stuff. If you pull one of those guys over, I would tend to think you're probably going to run into a little bit more emotion there just because their buns may be on the line because they got pulled over operating the boss's rig.
You're right. They're held to a higher standard. They would have a lot to lose if they were to get a traffic ticket. So we tend to see the commercial guys drive a lot more carefully through town or wherever and wearing their seat belts and obeying the rules of the road and such. So,
what about like the landscapers where garbage is falling off the backside? Do you guys worry about that? There goes a branch.
Well, yeah, especially if I'm behind them and that branch comes off and hits me.
You don't want to have to do a wheelie for the whole two blocks, yeah.
So, occasionally we get that. Once in a while, somebody on their way to going to the dumps is, they don't have their load secured and stuff's falling out. You get people calling, so we'll follow the trail, get there and say, hey, can you go pick up your stuff? Tie it down.
Like you don't know where they're headed. KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Gary Whitmer.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Whitmer on Labor Day. Gary, the three-day weekend, obviously it puts a little bit of stress on everybody because either there's more volume on the road, there's more volume of people who don't know where they're going, 3-day weekend, if you've been in the sun, okay, you're going to be a little fatigued, maybe a little challenged with some of the fires over the hills. Do you guys look harder at people on the third of a 3-day weekend because of some of these things, or is it just, it's another day in the neighborhood and you're going to be looking and just be as attentive as normal?
I think we're focused all the time. During these holidays, people tend to go out and celebrate. And so we obviously know that. So I don't want to say we focus harder, but it might just be something in the back of your mind knowing that, okay, it's the end of a 3-day weekend. It's nighttime. And there might be some impaired people out there. So we'll just keep a lookout for those folks.
What about you guys? Are you, Will you have to work all 3 days of the weekend? Or typically, will you get a day off out of the three?
It all depends what my schedule is. You know, a holiday is just another day when you're in law enforcement. If it falls on your day off, great. If not, you can try to take a day off, but it's just another day. You know, we work 24/7, so.
But so you're not unnecessarily fatigued like the motorist might be is what I was getting at.
Oh, it depends. We work 4/10, so I have 3 days off every week. So by the time I'm done with yard work and coaching soccer and baseball and playing my own sports, I'm pretty fatigued myself.
School's so. Feeling pretty, or work's feeling pretty good, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I go back to work to get a break.
Yeah. What are some of the telltale signs of somebody distracted or inebriated? Is it the stereotypical ones that most of us could come up with?
Pretty much. You have the weaving, the erratic driving, forgetting to turn your headlights on.
That would be in the safety corridor?
All the time.
Even at nighttime?
Nighttime, yeah.
Really? Some guys will try to drive without their lights on?
Yes. Yep. More often than you think.
At some point, it's got to clue you in that something's goofy. Where are all the streetlights?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Why are all my dash lights out? Yeah, we see that, you know, with the distracted driving nowadays with cell phones and texting, one of the things we see quite often, the light turns green, everybody goes, and you get that one car that just sits there because they're trying to finish their text message and they're not looking up, and then they're like, oh no, the light's green, and everybody's honking at them.
Yeah, that's kind of like a dead giveaway, I would think, for you guys.
Oh yeah, it's great. You pull up alongside them, they're just going to town on the keyboards and...
Yeah. You ever knock on the window or knock on the roof?
I've hit my air horn. That gets their attention. It's amazing how fast people drop the phone when you hit your air horn. They look over and realize you're a police officer. It's.
Do you smile and wave?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Smile, wave. Sometimes drop behind them, pull them over, write them a ticket. So depends if I'm on my way to a call or not.
Priorities.
Priorities.
Does the motorcycle give you more flexibility?
Oh, definitely.
To do those responses?
Oh, definitely. You can get through traffic much easier. You see a lot more than what you see from a patrol car. People see the patrol car a mile away, and they'll put their phone down, or you know, they'll put their seatbelt on. When you're on a bike, especially with an all-white helmet,
you can sneak up.
Yeah, they don't see you.
You're going to start trying to brand all-white helmet, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, it's great. I'm going to switch it up. So tomorrow I might have a red helmet. No, there's been times I've ridden just right alongside somebody while they're texting. And, I mean.
Just parallel?
For blocks and blocks and blocks.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And they just.
Driving with blinders on. Mm-hmm.
Well, now how can they be driving if they're doing that?
Well, they're trying to drive, but they're trying to text at the same time. And
wouldn't they kind of naturally swerve? Or I mean,
sometimes
most people don't hold straight,
right? It's the one-handed, one steering. I'm going to look up every once in a while and keep that text message going. That's great when you go write that person a ticket and you can tell the judge, well, your honor, you know, I followed them right next to their driver's side yeah while they did this, and they were so oblivious that they kept texting and I was right there. So we hope to not
mom
follow
said
them.
It was three cups of flour, but I think two might have been better. Okay, I would think that would be more embarrassing than anything else.
Yeah, people are embarrassed when you catch them.
Yeah, okay, good. Not a they don't put up much of a fight.
Sometimes people try. They give you every excuse under the sun, but, you know.
My phone's pregnant?
I just picked it up for a second, or, you know, I just pulled out, or whatever. It's
5 blocks, buddy. Come on.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I followed you.
KINS, News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Gary Whitmer.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's. St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Whitmer, Senior Motorcycle Cop Guy Dude from EPD. Why motorcycle? Is it because you like motorcycles? Is it more fun? Is it kind of get you out in the community a little bit more?
Pretty much all the above. I've always wanted to be a motorcycle cop since I was a little kid. And just having the opportunity to do it's been great. And I've been fortunate enough. I think 14 years now, out of the almost 20 years I've been here, I've been assigned to a motorcycle. So I've been able to ride three different kinds of bikes. And the motorcycle comes with being involved with traffic and traffic enforcement. And everybody has their little niche. And that's what I like to do. That's my passion, is traffic enforcement. And
how come? Was there an event?
Nope.
Just
investigating crashes and enforcement. And
you're going
like
back
that.
To Ron Waters, huh?
Yes.
Crashes?
Crashes.
Yeah,
they're not accidents. They're not. I'm trying to teach our new chief, and he's catching on. They're not accidents. And he corrects himself. He's catching on.
Okay.
But it's what I like to do. And, starting out younger on, it was just about going out and riding as many tickets as I could. It was just, it was great. Now, where I am now, I'm more of an admin person. I write these grants, and we're fortunate enough to obtain funding from the Office of Traffic Safety to do more enforcement, and they give us money for equipment, and it's been great, so.
Last week, the sheriff's department got some bucks for some of the fancy stuff from one of the tribes in the area for computers on board. Mm-hmm. I know the new rigs, the CHP guys have got a lot more computers on board. I know Andy's trying to get more computers on. What about on the motorcycle? Do you want any computers on board or like an iPad, or I guess it would be more of a big phone than it would be a pad, to be able to do the traffic citations and just do... Is there opportunities there for you guys on the motorcycles to be able to take advantage of technology?
Yes and no. I wouldn't want all that stuff. We'd have to tow a generator to keep all the batteries going. I mean, with the lights and the radios and stuff, that sucks up a lot of juice. But we do have the opportunities to try these digital ticket writing machines. We did years ago, and one of the officers went out, wrote a bunch of tickets, and came back, tried to download it all, and it crashed, and he lost everything.
Oh, so they're not like a series of emails then that just go to whoever's lucky at the other end.
Right. Yeah, and then you have to carry a printer and so on and so forth, because how does the person get their copy of their ticket? So there's...
I suppose just emailing it.
Yeah.
Some guys don't.
Right. And then you can swipe a driver's license and it all goes in there. And, it's great until it fails. The old-fashioned
way.
You got
to have the backup.
Yep. Old-fashioned three carbon copies. It's in a pen. You can't go wrong.
Until your pen goes out.
That's why I carry two.
Yeah, I understand that. Do you have to worry about people seeing you as you're driving in traffic?
Oh, every day.
So how do you still be incognito,
mm-hmm,
and still have people paying attention? I mean, the big bike flag thing probably wouldn't give you that macho feel that you want.
No.
So
no.
How do you do that at both at the same time?
It's difficult. Unless you're a motorcycle rider, it's hard to understand, but you assume nobody sees you.
Right, so you're always close to the center line or the far line.
Right. You
driving your lights
you're
on.
You're always, always
wave
have the
at
lights
people.
On. you're constantly looking, like I said, for the wet manhole covers, the crosswalks, gravel in the road, things like that. You don't want to ever ride in somebody's blind spot if you don't have to. Either zip ahead of them or fall way back. So that first and foremost, and you know, for us on the bike, the guys in the cars, they have their computers. It tells them where they're going, where everybody else is, and you know, when it's cold, they turn on their heater. It's warm, they turn on their air condition. You know, we tough it out and try to remember where everybody is.
Oh, I see. So motorcycle cops are more studly. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, 100% more.
Okay, studly, yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure that we got that one out.
You just
there.
Ask any motorcycle officer; they'll tell you. No, but we're out in the elements, and everybody thinks, oh, man, it's great. You get to ride around on this all day. Like, you know, like I'm on some vacation driving around the city and checking out the sights. But I tell you what, it's I go home a lot more worn out mentally. Physically, it's not that big of a deal or too hard to ride all day, but your brain has to keep going.
You're processing both sides all the time, yeah.
Right, trying to remember where people are, the debris in the road, what suspect descriptions look like, license plates of cars, watching everybody who's pulling out in front of you. So
that's what I was going to ask you. Do you get dispatched like a squad car would?
Mm-hmm.
Because your carrying capacity is a little bit more limited.
Right.
But you're able to get there on scene possibly a lot quicker?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Or it's just another body if... There needs to have another body.
Right. I'm just another body. There's times I've been dispatched to, you know, domestic violence calls or non-traffic related things. And, you know, you take somebody into custody, you have to call for a transport unit. And
oh, you don't strap them on the front?
I've tried, and it just drags me down.
Well, a couple bumps here and there.
No. So the car guys, they'll transport them to the hospital or to the jail, wherever we need them to go, and then they drop them off, and then we're good to go.
Eureka's laid out a little squirrely. You know, there's some areas that have alleys and some that don't. Do you spend a lot of time in the alleys, or not lying in wait? Because I don't have the sense that you guys have got that kind of time available. But when you're cruising the neighborhoods and just kind of doing the normal patrolling, but on the motorcycle, do you take advantage of the size? Are you able to do that kind of stuff?
We don't necessarily go through the alleys much in that they're usually filled with potholes and gravel. And for me being, I don't want to say somewhat short, but yeah, pretty short.
I thought you were going to say a neat freak.
No.
We don't want to lose you in one of the potholes, is that what you're saying?
That, and yeah, it's my bike, it's tall, so it's hard to put your feet down. One of our other officers, he's what, like 6'5", and he's like riding a mini bike. He doesn't care where you go, he can put his feet down. So it's a little more difficult for me, but yeah, I try to stay away from the alleys. But we do have our certain spots throughout town where we like to park and monitor traffic because... Several reasons. One, it's easy to see people. Two, it's a nice, safe place. It's easy to pull out. There's safe places where people can actually stop when you pull them over. So certain places like
that. Yeah, I understand certain wives of certain cops don't know where to pull over. Like, say, in the middle of a bridge, for example.
That would be not.
You heard about that one, too?
No, huh? No.
Oh, you wouldn't have heard about that. Okay, no. Fine. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Gary Whitmer.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Whitmer. Gary, school zones I know have changed. Marshall is a little bit different now. The Office of Ed has changed. We got the construction that's going on across from the cemetery and the county office. A lot of things have changed regarding school stuff. But as far as school safety, school speed zones, people in crosswalks, when you're on the motorcycle, do any of those things present special challenges for you?
Not for me personally, but like just yesterday, I sat out and watched the first day of the morning commute at Grant School. And let me tell you.
And they got the little island there on F
right,
Street now, too.
They do have that and some bulb outs and more paint and then I think a raised crosswalk. So they have a lot of improvements.
Did it matter at all?
Yeah, I think it helped. I think it directed some people to cross in the right spots and pay a little more attention here and there. I did hear from one lady who said that her son got to walk to school and he was excited because there was that little island in the middle. So if he needed to take a place of refuge, he can stop there. But luckily for him, everybody was able to stop, and he made it all the way across and made it to school safely. So it's a little peace of mind for this mother, knowing that these improvements were there and it was a lot safer for her child. So
that's kind of cool. F Street's a little bit of a challenge, though, because it is kind of like Park, and I suppose I Street also. A little bit of the runway feel about it. Is there anything that you guys do to kind of slow that up? Is that where you put the trailers, or you'll park in, out there just to be seen, just to kind of get people to change their pattern?
Yep, that's what we do. You'll notice that some of F Street's actually in the county, so you'll see CHP out there or sometimes the Sheriff's Department's scope unit.
Of course, you can't tell the difference anymore.
Right. So, yeah, we mix it up. You know, F Street, for quite a while there, you have the one signal at Harris, and then southbound, it's just all the way through. So, with the improvements that the county did there, it kind of breaks it up a little bit. But we mix up our enforcement so we're not, telling our hand all the time so people can not know where we'll be and hopefully slow down and just pay attention, and especially now with school starting.
Understanding is that Zane is probably the most problematic because of the hill, the visibility, and the four-way, the intersection, and just there's a lot of weird, unique things, but there's multiple weird, unique things going
right.
on. Do you guys put any special emphasis on Zane just because of where it is, or do you kind of spread yourself out and every school is every school?
You know, with the manpower we have, yesterday we all chose a school to go to. And we were fortunate that the calls didn't start happening until later on, so we were able to, designate some time to each school. But they each pose their own issues. Zane with the Hill, the engineers that the city really put a lot of time and effort into, I think, the pedestrian-activated flashing beacon and some more painting and striping and things to guide people in where they're supposed to be. But right when you come out, if you want to turn left, you might be waiting a while.
Yeah, it's kind of like at some of the fast foodies on Broadway. Why would you want to try to cross three lanes of traffic?
Right.
Come on, use your mind.
It'd be quicker to turn right and go find someplace to make a U-turn.
Really? Novel concept. You have been around for a while.
Yes.
So the mantra here is now look for the white hat.
Look for the white helmet and the short guy. That's me.
Yeah. Well, the white helmet's easier to find. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Gary Whitmer. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you tomorrow.